You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had a cancel subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, the world-famous, record-breaking premiere Grey's Anatomy podcast. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful full moon evening for a podcast. And yes. Yeah, it's a full moon kind of day, guys.
It's true. It's also a... Now you can. It probably sounded like a fart on your end, but that's opening a soda. I opened up a Jones orange cream soda.
You ever had those in ages?
Right? Oh my gosh! So okay, so you know Jones soda?
Yes, I do. So sorry. Okay. I remember when I was in high school. Did you just have a stroke
there for a second? Like just completely.
They had a contest that was like, submit your picture and we'll like put it on a soda. And I definitely submitted a picture and I truly could not tell you what it was of right now, but I know I submitted one.
It was a typical MySpace emo mirror selfie. And they
it wasn't a picture of me. It was like a picture. It was like a picture of like an inanimate object, maybe like a guitar or something. Cause that like fit the vibe.
Nice. That makes sense. I love, Target by our house has them, but they have them after the registers. So it's not in the impulse zone section. It's like, I have to actively go to the checkout lane, leave my cart there, then go get the soda and walk back to the checkout lane like a serial killer to go grab them.
That does seem strange.
Yeah. And it's next to a slushy machine and a popcorn machine that I've never once seen popcorn in. but... They always have these little fun, it's like the Snapple caps of soda, and this one says, a pleasant surprise is in store for you. Well, so hopefully...
It's this podcast.
Oh, I was hoping more along the lines of a job, or...
Oh, well that wouldn't be surprising, that would just be nice.
No, that's true, but it would be pleasant.
If I'm pleasant then it is surprising.
That's fair.
All right.
Anyways.
Grey's Anatomy. Well, Carmen, let's discuss. This was a good episode. This is a big episode. This is emotional.
We watched the same episode?
Well, let's talk about it. Did you watch episode 20 of the third season? The 56th yes. episode overall? Yes.
With how many million viewers, just to make sure?
21.12 million.
Oh, we watched the same one, yeah.
Called Time After Time. Time After Time.
Yes, yes, we did.
Time. Tell me about the song, Carmen.
Let me do that. Let me tell you all about the song. Time After Time, Kelsey's best friend, Cyndi Lauper. Not to be confused with Cyndi Crawford, after 9 Coronas. That was the Weird Al Yankovic version, by the way. Time After Time is by Cyndi Lauper, co-written by Rob Hyman, released in 1983. It is the second single from the debut album She's So Unusual. This particular single was released January 27th, 1984, and became a number one hit. So the song itself... I'm pulling up the lyrics here, too. Time after time. Why is everything in my life falling apart every time I try to search for it?
Time after time.
Everything in my life falls apart time after time. So the classic chorus, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time. If you fall. There you go.
No, you keep doing. I'm just going to underscore you.
If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting time after time.
I will be waiting
time after time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time.
If you're lost, you can.
So good. And then the last one is, if you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting time after time.
I'm waiting.
Shimona.
That's not the words.
Shaman. All right. Charts. We got charts. So this song, like I said, did reach number one on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, but it also reached number one in Zimbabwe.
Wow.
Chile, Canada. And it reached top 10 in a slew of other countries. So many to name, but yeah, it was interesting that this song got a lot of play in Africa because it hit, like I said, number one in Zimbabwe. It hit number 25 in South Africa, and there's a couple other of African countries that it made, and it broke that top 100. So I don't know what specifically about that song was very much like Africa was really just feeling it, but you've got a lot of your typical offenders here of Australia, Austria, Belgium, Europe, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy. So like the ones that like are typically very big into these pop songs are we're still in on this one, but yeah, not very often seen as the Zimbabwe and South Africa connection here. So, anyways, that's what I got. I actually didn't have a chance to listen to this one before watching this, but it was interesting because I actually equated it to Meredith and Susan's interaction throughout the entire episode. Okay. So it's like she was like, I'm going to be your mom. I will be there time after time, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm going to do this for you. And Meredith was just being kind of a dirt douchebag the whole time to her. But
yeah, she was
that's what I got for you guys today on... Carmen's song selection chart radio. Back to you, party people.
Thank you. So this episode was written by Stacey McKee, who we have seen before, and directed by Christopher Misiano. It aired April 19th, 2007. And I did want to note before I read the Netflix synopsis, this episode was the episode that Katherine Heigl was nominated for a Primetime Emmy for. And she did go on to win that Emmy.
Oh, amazing.
So Katherine Heigl won the Primetime Emmy for the third season of Grey's Anatomy. And she was nominated for this episode specifically. So
good job, Katherine.
I feel like watching it, I feel like it was a good episode acting wise to nominate her for, because it was just like, there was a lot of emotion for Izzy. This episode was all over for Izzy in a good way. Like emotion wise, like this was a deep, deep one. A heavy hitter.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let me read to you the Netflix synopsis. Izzy faces her past and finds comfort in George. Alex has an attachment to Jane Doe, and Meredith and Derek question their status.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Like, not even at all. Also, you're forgetting the part about how Netflix, not you, Mark and Weber,
new favorite duo. Also, nothing about Christina and Burke, who are like the thumbnail picture on Netflix of this episode.
Oh, Netflix, you're so silly. Sponsor us.
Truly, if only.
All right. Before we jump in, can we take a second for a quick How to Get Away with Murder update?
Oh, yes, please. You're burning through them.
Yo.
It's hard not to.
Nate just fucking killed Miller.
Oh, yeah. That's just like, fucked. Dude, that's a rough one.
Okay. First off, kudos to Jess because she was like, Nate's dad is about to be killed. And I was like, oh, fuck. I think you're right. And then he died. And then, like, the next couple of episodes go by and Nate physically lifts Miller off the ground with a fucking punch to the fucking
Nate is
mouth.
A badass. Nate sometimes is too much, but like I most of the time really like his character.
Yeah, that he is just a brick house. But yeah, I feel bad because he killed a man the same way that his dad did and repeated the cycle.
Yeah.
Which obviously is, I'm sure, a Shondaland metaphor. Mm-hmm. Also, Nate's dad, Nate, plays a guy by the name of George in an episode of Scrubs. He dies of cancer and interrupts JD and Turk's steak night, and they walk him through what death means.
How much do you also, love the Supreme Court storyline, though?
Incredible. So I was really hoping they were going to pull a Parks and Rec and like actually have the real Supreme Court there. And like the real politicians and stuff.
Speaking of which, Madam Secretary update, I just watched an episode where she's like, I need the advice of previous secretaries of state. Literally, in her office, Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell, and Hillary Clinton. Like,
wow.
In this woman's office.
Like real.
Yes, like
real.
Them actually.
Fuck.
It was pretty dope.
Also,
it was pretty dope.
I need to watch that show. Yeah, also, I'm going to watch Scandal too.
Yes.
Because Olivia Pope was Gus's wife in Psych, which means that Psych is now Shondaland canon.
It's really, that's not what it means, but I'm
that's how I interpreted
it that way.
Well, I also had to quickly look to see if Psych came before or after Grey's Anatomy. And it was 1 year. Psych came 1 year after Grey's Anatomy.
I was about to say, I feel like it was congruent, really.
They were very close. They were very close.
But yeah,
so Grey's Scandal's almost great. Was usurped by Psych, but Psych,
I will
in
say,
fact,
I
lost
was
this one.
Thinking it would be very difficult to do a How to Get Away with Murder podcast the way we do this one, because think about all the fucking cliffhangers in that show that you would have to wait a week or longer to fucking watch the next one.
I would do it for the show, and I would be able to make it happen, but I would be pissed about it.
It would be hard. As
because Jessica
live,
wouldn't be able to do it.
I watched
Jessica
it live,
wouldn't be able to do it. She would, so you watched that one live, too.
It fucking sucked every week, being like, are you fucking kidding me? Now I have to wait for this.
The thing that I like about that show, you know what? No, I'm going to leave that for Patreon. We're going to go ahead and move on. That's it.
The thing that we like about it is that we can talk about it on Patreon. Okay. So, yes, let's get into this episode now that it's 2 a.m. Okay.
Somewhere.
Izzy and George, this is the recap. Sorry. Izzy and George have the sex, but they say they're going to keep it a secret and not tell anybody.
Remember when George cheated on Callie?
Ugh. Fuck's sake.
Remember when infidelity happens?
How, Carmen, how does George get all of the, like, let's step back and let's look at who George has slept with. George has slept with Meredith, Izzy, and Callie.
And Olivia.
George is racking up. Like, if I showed you all of those women, and then I showed you, like, George and Alex, and I was like, which of these two men has slept with all of these women? Would you pick George?
No. Also, are we actually going to count Meredith and them?
They
boning?
Fucked. They fucked.
That's true. They did. I guess, yeah, you can fuck without climaxing. It's sad, but that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just so, the only thing that's going to get Alex pulling ahead now, because, well, here's the thing too. Okay, so hold on. Alex has also had sex with Olivia. Alex has also had sex with Izzy. The only one out of all of those that Alex hasn't had sex with is Meredith.
And Callie.
And Callie. That's fair. Now, Mark, on the other hand, has had sex with Callie.
Mm-hmm.
And Addison.
Yes. Yes.
Man, so Mark and George are wiener cousins. And this Alex and George are wiener cousins.
This hospital is just incest.
It's... Oh, gosh. And Christina and Burke have only had sex with each other.
On the show. Because she's had sex with Colin Marlowe.
Well, right. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
And Derek has had sex with Addison and Meredith.
Yeah.
So Derek, George, and Mark are all wiener cousins, if that's what you're Addison. Calling it. But it's actually called Eskimo cousins, right? But why? No one can explain it to me. I don't know that I
call them wiener cousins.
I prefer.
I think wiener cousins is the less racist thing.
I don't understand. Like, every time I've asked a man to explain to me why it's Eskimo cousins, they cannot tell me. So
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know either. But I don't use that term.
I don't want
to
Google it.
It's not like you're asking me a word.
That's not something I want to Google. You know what I mean? There are certain things where I'm like, ask a question and someone's like, Google it. And I'm like, you Google it. I don't want that shit on my search history.
That's when you say, my phone is dead. Can I borrow your phone to Google this stupid shit? Because I don't want the FBI having this on my search history. Oh, gosh. So, okay, yeah. Mark, Derek are wiener cousins with Addison.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, George are wiener cousins with Callie.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, George are wiener cousins with Meredith.
No, Olivia. Alex and George.
Yes, you're right. Olivia, Olivia,
and then
Olivia.
Derek and George are Meredith.
Gosh, so weird.
This show is so incestuous.
I just am waiting for someone to become wiener cousins with Weber. Like, someone, like, if Weber fucks Olivia, I'm going to lose it. Oh, gosh. Anyways, all right, let's talk about this actual episode here. Let's hit the recap.
Yeah. Okay, so George and Izzy had sex, and they decide not to tell anybody. Susan is there. What else was it? Ava and Alex talk a lot. And then Bert, Christina, and Marlo. So that's it.
The only thing I had on that was, I don't know if you heard or if you said it, but I included Susan in on that. I was like, Susan
yes.
has a
I said Susan was there.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I don't forgive
in my
you.
Defense. In my defense, I was also looking at a text when you were talking about the recap. So that's on me. That's on me, everyone.
Is it a text from your wife? Because I was also looking at one of those.
No, but we should both text her at the same time and see who responds, who she responds to
she's
first.
She's typing to me right now, so she's going to respond
Gosh,
to me.
Gosh, fuck.
Anyways, okay.
All right.
Oh, look, she just texted me. Okay. So it starts with Christina and Burke operating and Marlo like leering over in the gallery while Meredith is like lying or talking about patients lying and like rewriting their history. Susan is at Meredith's house delivering like groceries and Derek is telling her like, oh, you know, eventually Meredith's going to be a bitch. Just like a heads up. Like she's bad at like being your people.
She's already being a bitch. She has been nothing but an asshole to Susan except for that one night at dinner.
Yeah.
Like, and granted, I know that the end of this episode, we get a little bit more clarity and like context around how Susan's feeling, but Meredith, just stop being a mean girl. Stop being Rachel McAdams and mean girls. Don't be a Regina George.
Yeah.
Be Fetch instead.
Yeah. Okay, so Derek or Meredith comes in. I will say she's being kind of nice and she's just kind of weird and like she's just confused and like overwhelmed that someone would be nice to her. Which does make me sad for her. But she's like, because like it's hard because of the way that their relationship is presented to us in the show. But if you step back, Susan is her stepmom. And it's not weird for people to like have good relationships with their stepmoms. Like, obviously, yeah, this specific situation isn't like the typical one. But when it comes down to it, it's not absurd for them that they would have a relationship.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's true, kind of presented to the, like, as the audience member, you forget like, oh, this is actually like, this is like a pretty normal relationship. This one is just fucked up because of the history behind it.
Well, it's also fucked up because there's not years and years of getting to know the person, you know, like I think for me, I went through a lot of this drama because I have a very solid relationship with one step parent, and the other step parent in the scenario is like, well, how come you don't think of me the same way that you think of them?
Yeah.
Well, because I have 10 plus years of history knowing this person and I've known you for 5 minutes. Yeah. Right. But the thing is Meredith isn't making, I think, as much of an effort as she could, but she also doesn't owe Susan or her dad anything, in my opinion, right, on this whole matter.
Right.
She owes them nothing. But the fact that Susan's trying, she doesn't deserve Meredith being rude.
Yeah, I agree. And like, because it doesn't even seem like Meredith is trying to necessarily set boundaries. It just seems like she's just being like, leave me alone.
Which is not a boundary.
Yeah, it can be, but there's like you, it's like, clarify what you need from this or don't need. Because like,
yeah,
Susan's, I mean, ultimately, it maybe at the end does kind of seem like maybe Susan is doing it out of guilt because she feels bad. But I don't really think that's her motivation. Like, I just actually think Susan is a good person.
Yeah, I think that it maybe started as guilt, mm-hmm, but it didn't end as guilt. It could have started and she could have gotten denied the first time. And if it was just guilt, she probably could have just quit.
Yeah.
But because she cares and she's a good person, it's sustained, right?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like, oh, I'm doing this because it's an obligation. It seems like she's just like a nice person. Is like, this is what exactly people should do.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. Derek is says he's going to the hospital to talk to Richard, and Susan's like, you don't need luck. You deserve to be chief. Just make him listen. Like, so there's like big mom energy. Richard and Mark are in the elevator, and Richard, good God.
I love this scene.
I hate this scene so much. It's so uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, but it's hilarious.
It's so upsetting. I hate it so much. I don't talk to strangers. It's because like, you never know if you're talking to like someone who has the ability to fucking have a conversation with you, or you're going to talk to someone who's just going to like unload way too much information on you. And then you're like, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so the thing I like about the scene is like, this girl, she's not actually probably flirting. She's probably just being polite. And Weber's like, I learned from George. I'm not going to even remember how to talk to people right now.
This is big George energy.
This is big George energy, BGE. And then Mark's just sitting there laughing his ass off in the corner, which is hilarious to me. I didn't hate Mark in this episode. I actually was a fan of Mark in this episode.
I agree.
Whether or not his motives are pure, I don't care, because he's just funny in this episode.
Yeah. Okay, so I did like at the end when he's talking to Richard and Richard's like, I wasn't flirting, and Mark goes, you're telling me.
I got a very Hitch vibe from that.
Yeah.
I was like, is Mark, are you gonna hitch Weber?
He wants to wingman.
What was that
up.
Other one with what was the other one with Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone
Crazy
and
Crazy Stupid Love?
Yeah.
I never watched that.
It's good.
It's good, though.
It's good. Yeah, I didn't finish it. Marianne Moore?
Mary Tyler Moore?
Julianne Moore. She's in that movie, too.
Okay, so Marlo is talking to Christina, and she tells him that her and Burke set a date for next month, which is wildly fast. Okay, also...
Oh, yeah.
It has not been, this show has not been a full year yet. I just want to point that out to you. This show has not, I know we're in the third season. It has not been a full year of these people's lives yet.
Really? So they're still in their first year of...
Yes.
In internship.
No, because you do an internship and then you move to being a resident and then attending. Or fellow then right. attending.
But they're not even in their first year of residency.
No, they're interns.
So I will say, and I didn't realize that, and it's one of those things where I wasn't paying attention to. I didn't realize that I wasn't paying attention to until right now. But every time a season ended in Scrubs, it's a new year. They're no longer interns. Or, this is our first year of residency.
That's typical for a lot of shows is if you look at, say Friends, right? In almost every season of Friends, there's Thanksgiving and Christmas episodes. So you're this is a year. The season is a year.
Right, right.
And so you have a lot of those holiday milestones that make that out. The only reason I know for a fact that it's not been a full year yet is because there is a plot point at the end of this season that makes it a year. That they
is it a Christmas thing?
No. But it's just a plot point that now we've been doing this for a year. But then a lot of the seasons past this do kind of fall more into that structure of this is a year and this is a year. But like I said before, there is an episode way in the future where it is literally a two-part episode that is a full year.
What?
Yeah, I've mentioned that before.
I don't remember that.
The maybe 12th or 14th season. It's wild. But so we've done three seasons as a year. And then, the timeline is fucking wackadoo.
That actually frustrates me a lot because these people you don't know someone enough in just one year. Like George and Izzy being best friends, quote unquote. Meredith and Christina being best friends, which that at least there's more groundwork that I've believed that to be. But the Meredith, Derek, Addison love triangle mm-hmm. all taking place over the course of less than a year mm-hmm. is just bonkers to me.
And now Burke and Christina are going to get married.
In a month.
Yeah. Now here's I don't really have an issue with the friendship aspects because I have definitely had friends where that bond is literally so instantaneous. Shout out Kelly. We hung out once outside of work and I spent the night at her house and then we were basically inseparable for years until she moved
shout out
away. And then we still talked all the time. And when we would meet each other's friends or family, they would say that we seemed like we had known each other for our whole lives. But we had known each other for a year.
Yeah.
So I respect that. Sometimes there really is that bond that is instantaneous. And also I think with relationships, romantic relationships, it's obviously varies person to person because I don't necessarily think that time is an indicator of success because two of my best friends, they got engaged after a month and married after a year and they've been married 11 years now. And then I know people who were I dated someone for a very long time and then we broke up. Don't worry. It wasn't Michael.
right.
So there's not an indicator just because you've been with someone for a long time, you'll for sure stay together. So I'm not saying that, but all of the stuff that's happened over the course of these three seasons is wild to be really? It's been under a year. That's bonkers. Yeah.
Well, to your point, to be fair, I understand the friendship thing.
Yeah.
Because I also agree. Look at all of I would consider, all of you guys and you specifically as well, some of my best friends in the entire world, and I've known you significantly longer less time yeah. than, Steve, right, who I've known since kindergarten.
Right.
Who is my best friend. But I think my issue and the part that I have a hard time with in this show is the lack of on-screen foundation that they plant yeah. for a lot of these things.
Yeah, for sure.
Because George and Izzy, I understand they're best friends, but I don't see how they're best friends.
Yeah, we don't really get that right away from the first season where obviously because Meredith is the core, it's Grey's Anatomy and she's Meredith Grey.
Right. Not Stevens and Avenue.
Right. So we do see that build with her and Christina more. And they try and show the build with her and Derek, and I still just don't buy it. And I know a lot of people really like love them together, and like they're like, oh, such chemistry, such a blah, blah, blah. But I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't feel like attached to their storyline. I don't feel attached to their relationship. Like, to me, it was more compelling to watch Addison and Derek. But I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I don't know what happens after this, so we'll figure it out, and we'll see if they continue to get better at their on-screen work, but we'll see. Maybe it'll just be, I don't know. I got a bad feeling about a couple of things. We'll get there.
Okay. So, yeah. So Marlo's talking to Christina. They've set the date. And he's like, you're not the marrying kind. And she's like, can you fucking leave? And he invites her to do the piggyback surgery, which is a big deal and like super rare and all this stuff.
Podcast yawn.
Yep. So then Christina's talking to Meredith and she's making all of her chess references. And she's like, he's upping her game. I have to take his queen or what the fuck ever. And then Meredith, she's like, you never played chess? And Meredith goes, I'm not a geek. I'm like, you're weird, though.
Yeah, she's weird enough to be a chess geek. Also, it's worth pointing out that anyone who talks about chess in general now, all I think of is Coach Beard from Ted Lasso. Is like, he is now the prototypical chess player, chess nerd in my head now. That's it. He's the face of chess in my mind.
It's always going to be Ron Weasley for me.
That's fun. Oh, yeah, because of Harry Potter.
Yes, that thing he's from.
Yeah, like that one time when they were in the dungeon and he had to lead them and play.
It has to be you.
Ron Weasley.
Ron Weasley. Okay. This is a good one, guys. We are on point today.
30 minutes. We haven't even gotten the title card.
So Meredith,
let's
is
plow
like
through this. Let's catch up some time.
Meredith's complaining about Susan. Alex is like, shut the fuck up. This is normal family. You just have a shit family. George shows up, talks to Callie. Izzy comes in from confessional, dressing all fancy. George and Callie are like, let's go get a coffee date. George is ignoring Izzy. Callie's glaring at Izzy. It's good times.
Pause.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, Izzy looked hot, except her hair.
Pretty.
Use the down do, always the down do. Number two, when Meredith is like, doesn't know what to call Susan, she's like, get your own estranged father's wife.
Fake mommy, get your own fake mommy.
Yeah. And it was at this moment that I started to get feelings that Callie's going to figure the shit out between George and Izzy. I was getting a lot of vibes in this episode, in this scene. Continue.
Okay. So Sloan and the interns are checking on Ava's facial reconstruction. So they remove the mesh. Her face is swollen, but this is like what the actress looks like. Like, you recognize her now, right?
Still no.
How? You watched all of the Twilight movies more than once. Like, how do you not recognize her?
I just don't recognize her. If you wouldn't have pointed her out to me, I would never have gotten there. It's because her teeth are still so messed up.
They are very smooshed, and
I
love it.
She needs a dentist.
Don't worry, they'll take care of it. But like, it is distracting. Okay, so they're taking a picture of her. They're going to put it out in the news to basically be like, hey, do you recognize this lady? Because she doesn't know who she is. Come get her. At this point, did you think someone was going to show up?
Yeah, I knew someone was going to show up, but I knew right away that it wasn't going to be her actual parents.
Yeah.
They weren't ready for this storyline to end.
Yeah. So, okay, Izzy tells George to go to confessional and stop avoiding her, and he's like, leave me alone. I cannot do this. You must back off. And then the couple comes up to Izzy, and they're like, oh, our daughter has bone cancer. Also, she is the girl you gave birth to 11 years ago, so if you could just, that would be great.
Listen, I liked the plot twist and I was like, whoa, what? But then to just turn around and be like, but also we could use some bone marrow. Also because I've heard that bone marrow transplants are one of like the most excruciatingly painful procedures in all of the medical field.
Yeah. I knew a guy in high school who his younger sister had leukemia and he donated bone marrow and it was like, I mean, yeah, he said it was horrendous. But this is why I'm confused. And we'll get to the actual procedure later, but I'm just going to talk about this now. I have gotten an epidural twice now, and I love them. I just could not recommend them more for just like your average Tuesday. Like, I love a good epidural. So I was confused as to, I mean, you still feel like pressure, but I'm confused as to how it's painful. Obviously, I don't like know the ins and outs, and I'm not saying it's not painful because I've also heard that it's painful, but like he gives her an epidural. But maybe it's because it's your bones and epidurals can only do so much with your nerves. I don't know.
I would imagine that the epidural. I you know, leukemia. Don't give me that one. The thing that was weird about it, or that I was looking at it, is it looked like maybe the epidural was for reaching the bone marrow, and it wasn't necessarily that the epidural was for the physical procedure as much as it was the lead up to the procedure, because there's no nerve endings in. Yeah, exactly. There's no nerve endings in, well, there's nerve endings, but there's no nerves that you would have to, like, that pain piece in the bone. It's getting to the bone and then having to drill through that. I don't know. No matter how many painkillers you have, you're going to feel that.
Yeah. Ouch.
And she did it at work. She's like, I'm just going to do this while I'm at work.
Yeah. Casual.
Get paid to do that.
Okay, so anyway, so then we get the title card at 7:14. This is back to your, like, dramatic, like, title card mic drop moment that we have seen before. God damn it. Sorry. Oh, sorry. I just cursed. Okay.
You're allowed to curse.
I know, but I don't normally say that one, I don't feel like.
Well, fuck.
Okay, so then we have a very emotional scene between Izzy and the birth parents. Very good scene. Very good acting on Katherine Heigl's part. As much as I say I don't love Katherine Heigl as a person, she's a very talented actress.
Yes.
I think this was a well-deserved nomination. She was nominated. Sandra Oh was nominated. And Chandra Wilson were all nominated for Best Supporting Actresses for this season, specifically. So,
wow. So they flooded the awards for this one.
And so Izzy won. I remember I watched that Emmys live, and I remember when she won, she was like, shit. Like, she definitely cursed when she won. Like, they showed her in the audience, but like out of like a happy, like, I can't believe this is happening. I just remember like watching it, and they were all sitting together and she won. And then she went up there.
Good for her. I need to Google that later. I'll Google.
Will find it and send it to you because I don't want you to see other things.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I'm
debating at what point I need to tell you like the behind the scenes drama of Katherine Heigl, because you know that she's not on the show, obviously.
Yeah.
Anymore.
She's the only one that I know for sure is not on the show.
Yes.
I know. Oh, so also, quick spoiler update, everyone. This happened like 2 or 3 episodes ago, but we didn't talk about this. So I saw a picture on Facebook that once I realized it was a Grey's Anatomy spoiler, I kept scrolling. But it was like only two remain from the original cast or something like that. Now, and this was around when Ellen Pompeo was stepping down from the show, which obviously was a shock. But I assume that in this particular season that are still running, she's the only character from the original ones left. So now I know that there's two that are left, but I don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So no spoilers. Don't do it, obviously. But just wanted to keep you guys updated on what's going on with Spoiler World.
Yes. I feel like I'm just going to tell you now. Okay. Not like who's still on the show, the Katherine Heigl thing. Okay.
I was like, wait a second.
I'm just going to tell
you
what happens in the 19th season. Okay. So basically this happened. She won the Emmy. Season 4 comes around. They nominate her. She gets an Emmy nomination. Like, she gets, like, they announce the nominees and she is nominated. She goes to the Emmy board and she's like, I shouldn't be nominated for this award. The writing that I am getting from my storyline this season isn't good enough for me to get an award.
I do know that. Okay. I knew that part of the story, but I didn't know it was for season 4.
So to me, that's a shitty thing to say, because you're not saying 100%. Like, I don't think I'm doing a good job. You're saying like, the writers aren't doing a good job for me. So that's why I was also confused, and I'll listen to it before we get further into this, like as we go on, when Ellen Pompeo on her podcast was saying that like Katherine Heigl got like treated like shit, and if she did this now, she would be like an icon and all this stuff, because when it happened, it just came out that like she was basically like shit talking Shonda in the writer's room, like very publicly. So that's why I was confused when they were like saying like, oh, she like worked really long hours and all this stuff, because I'm sure they did work really long hours. But that's like very common with shows, like they work really, really hard to turn these shows around. They normally film like a full episode in like a week or week and a half. And so like I know that the cast and crew work really crazy hours and work really hard to make these shows. And I'm not saying that's not true, but like that wasn't publicly how it was how the drama went down. So again, I'll like look more into that and like listen to Ellen Pompeo's podcast like before we get there. But like that was just confusing to me because I specifically remember all of that coming out, and it's not like that was twisted. Like she like there were like direct quotes of her saying that. So like it was just like very confusing to me.
All I know is that I don't know anything about Katherine Heigl individually other than her perception in Hollywood, which is that of kind of a tough person to work for, and her physical appearance, which I am a fan of. So between those two things, obviously I'm going to give anyone the benefit of the doubt because I know nothing about, you know, what's going on with this show, especially because I'm learning it in the moment. But if you have any thoughts, or if you were remembering things when this all came out live, if you were there, if you're one of the writers, or if you're Shonda herself, let us know. And email us at graysacademypod@gmail.com.
Yes. And also, too, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, while you're thinking of that, also make sure to give us...
She has adopted children, or at least one child she adopted.
Catherine?
Yes.
Good for you, Catherine. Yeah. Also, at the 40-minute mark is when we tell people specifically to give us a subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Like, download all of our episodes. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever else you listen to. If you're on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, make sure to give us a quick little type-up. Tell us why you love us or why you hate us, but still give us a 5-star review, which is really great.
These people are so good at making me hate them. 5 stars.
And then make sure to share this on your Instagram and Facebook stories and tell all your friends.
Pretty so. Please. We love
the
you.
End.
Thank you so much.
We love you. And sign up for our Patreon.
It was so cool seeing us on people's Spotify Wrapped. That was so cool.
Yeah. Holy cow.
That was awesome. So we have the very emotional scene between Izzy and her birth parents, adoptive parents. She's the birth parent. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
They ask her about donating, and she's like, typically a parent's not a great match. Like, it's only a half match. And they're like, can you just get tested and see? We don't know. Like, she just keeps getting sicker. Like, please, our daughter's going to die. Very, very good scene. Very sad scene. She says,
please, Isabel, you're our only hope. And then she puts a disc into a round droid in the corner.
Izzy says she wants to meet Hannah, and the parents like, that's totally fine with us. We do want to make sure it's okay with her. Good parenting. I agree. So Marlo, Burke, and Christina go to meet their patient. Christina is acting super weird all over Burke.
Very
bizarre.
Not professional at all.
No, very unprofessional. But basically, it's not. So normally when you see this kind of things in shows, it's like to make the other person jealous. But she's doing it as more of like a, I'm in this for real, and you need to back the fuck off about it. She's just trying to get him to leave, basically. And then Burke asks Christina what she was doing, and he goes, you're going to have to put up with me being nice and sweet for a little while. And he goes, oh, that'll be a nice change of pace.
Such a good interaction. And she's like, shut up.
I love them.
Such a good interaction. They're cute. They're cute. They're still going to break up, but they're cute.
When are they going to break up?
Before the end of season 3, or whenever it happens in this timeline.
It happens.
She's... She's going to leave him at the altar.
Okay. Is she? What's the reason?
The reason is she's going to be back with Colin Marlowe.
Interesting.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I need to see what's going on because maybe I'm wrong. There's a chance that I could be wrong. I'm very wrong on few things, but I could be wrong on them breaking up.
Remember when you said that George and Izzy weren't going to sleep together?
I never said that. There's no proof except for that one proof.
Except for the recording. Okay. So Addison tells Alex he's doing a good job with the Ava case and he's like trying not to take a compliment. And then the nurse comes up and tells them people are here. They think it's her parents. So let's go talk to them. So yay. Derek is talking to Richard about being the chief and he's like, well, my interview didn't go that good. So I need you to tell the board that you're backing me. And he's like, no.
It is weird to think, because Weber basically told two people, hey, come here and I'll make you chief. Or, well, he said that to one person and he said it to Preston, which I don't know. I just don't know how that wasn't enough of a wake up call for Derek. He seems to be living in the past on this quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he does bring up a good point. He's like, yeah, it's only one vote. And Derek's like, yeah, but like, it's a big fucking vote, dude.
It's a strong vote. Yeah. Like your vote matter. Like, let's not pretend it doesn't matter more than other people's because it does. Oh, I'm so sorry. I have to go on podcast yawn. It's only 4 a.m. guys. Okay. So Izzy comes like cuts through the clinic and she's like, I don't feel good. And she goes in the bathroom. And so Bailey follows her in and here's Izzy like sobbing. She's like, can you come out so I can fucking talk to you? And so she comes out and she tells Bailey what's going on. And she asks her not to say anything. And she's like, I don't know what to do. Like, what do I do? And it's, again, great scene. Like, Katherine Heigl does such a good job. And so does, you can kind of see Bailey's shift from when she figures out that it's not like bullshit drama, but it's like real, like something like very, very real.
It's true real life shit. It's not.
This is a great Bailey episode as well. Like the way that she's like there for her, but like doesn't cross a boundary at the same time. You know what I mean? Like it's very, I love it. It's like a great mentor, mentee bonding, but like still appropriate.
Well, it gives more depth to the character that they're trying to build for her of the Nazi mom hybrid. You know,
and she is a mom, but she's also a doctor and she also like knows people has lives and she's had a life, you know, before she was a doctor too. And obviously it doesn't have the same story, but I feel like everyone can relate to having things in their past that they don't necessarily like want everyone to know about.
Yes. Also, quick pause for anyone with that reference. Obviously, if you're just tuning in and you don't know anything about the show, they reference her as the Nazi. And I do just want to take a very, very quick, gentle second that we do not condone that. And if this show started right now, this day and age, they would never have made that nickname for her. And especially with all of the anti-Semitic stuff going on right now in this world, we do not condone that. So
Nazis
just
want to
throw that out there. Nazis are bad.
We think that they are evil and you should use the term evil when you're talking about them because it's bad.
Just want to make sure that that didn't like go without being said.
Yes. Good clarification. So Alex and Addison are meeting with the maybe parents of Ava and they say, oh, she was married, but her husband left because he didn't want a baby. And like, we haven't heard from her. And like, now we saw the picture and this is a picture of our daughter and like, they look kind of similar. And like she has B positive blood and she doesn't have any tonsils. So they're like trying all these things to basically like check to see like just like do genetic testing, but whatever.
Right. Right. Why didn't they just do that?
I don't know. Maybe it takes a long time. It was 2007. So Susan is at the hospital looking for Meredith and Meredith gets so fucking snippy. And she's like, I am busy. I'm at work. Why are you here? This is too much. Stop being nice to me. I hate you. I am a garbage person. Verbatim.
I do remember all of that. Yeah, that's a direct quote from the show, everyone.
Yeah, and she's like, leave me alone. So that's fun. Alex goes to see if Ava has tonsils. And she's like, why are you checking this? Is someone here for me? And he's like, yes, we need to check. And she does not have tonsils, so she gets all excited. So the parents come in and they're like, your name is Shannon Marie after my mother, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is your life, and tells her all about who she is.
It was at this moment that I knew it's not going to be, it's not the right parents. It's not, something is not,
it's too
they
easy.
Want it. So they want it so bad that they're just barging into the room. And yeah. I hate, spoiler alert, I hate that Alex was the face of being a bad guy in this, yeah. in this scenario.
I hate that they like don't fucking own up and like do it themselves. So then we have Bailey telling George to take over the clinic till she gets back. And he's like, what's wrong with Izzy? And she's like, shut the fuck up. I'm dealing with it. And then she puts Meredith in the clinic.
Another direct quote.
Direct quote. Shut the fuck up, George. And then she also asks what's wrong with Izzy, and he just ignores her. So whatever. George is annoying. Marlo, Burke, and Christina are explaining the surgery to their patient. Marlo is being a huge turd to Burke and like correcting him like overstepping, like super rude. Didn't you read my paper? Fuck a fuck a fuck. Blah, blah, blah. Christina has her nails painted and he's like, what is wrong with your hands? And she's like, I'm just testing colors. And then she very obviously wants to flip him off, but she can't because there's censorship rules on television. So she doesn't, but that was what she was. That was the idea behind, like, I'm thinking Coral. But it was like these fingers still up.
Yeah.
It's an audio podcast, guys, but like it's my fingers. But they wanted
trust us. It's her fingers. And trust me, she just flipped me off for real.
Yeah. But like that's your average Tuesday.
Yep. What else is an average Tuesday? It's epidurals and flipping people off. Epidurals. Average Tuesday.
Average Tuesday. We love a good epidural with a middle finger. Mark grabs Richard and he's like, hey, I want to show you something. This is how you fucking flirt. And then he flirts with that girl. He does a good job. Here's the thing, though. When you're Mark Sloan and you look like that, a lot of your interactions are flirting because of what your face looks like. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it's him and I have the same curse. And I see a lot of myself in Mark in this episode.
In what way?
Just successfully flirting, being handsome and charming, and, you know, really trying to look out for your friends and be their wingman when you need to, you know?
Interesting. Interesting. I didn't know you did that a lot.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I'm doing it right now.
All the time. Okay. We're not going to dive into that one right now. Okay, so then Izzy and Bailey are in the pediatric waiting room. Because she wants to meet Hannah. And they have a nice scene where Bailey tells her, she's like, it's great that she like has these good parents who are willing to like stand up for her and fight for her. But it's also okay for you to want her to want you.
Yeah.
And then the parents come out and they're like, I'm so sorry. Like, she's just not ready yet. Which is fair. This child is 11 and she has leukemia that she just got diagnosed with. Like,
yeah.
We don't know this family's dynamic. Like, we don't know how long she's known that she was adopted. Maybe she's known her whole life. Maybe it's like, we just don't know the backstory to this. And to ask an 11-year-old to process that is like a lot to put on her, especially when she's already like potentially dying.
Yeah, that was my initial thought too. Podcast burp, is how long has Hannah known? Mm-hmm. Because neither of us being adopted, but knowing people who are adopted, it's how do you handle those conversations and how early do you introduce it?
Yeah.
And I would imagine that, you know, right around 11, that preteen kind of range is when most people who find out for the first time find out. That's my assumption. That's my kind of perception of it, because it's also around the same time that people are like, oh yeah, and by the way, Santa's not real.
What?
Which is a lie, because Santa is real, because Buddy the Elf physically knows him. We've seen him. Mm-hmm. Look at all these movies. They wouldn't put
make that
for Santa
a lie. Yeah.
All so Christmas here's my movies are documentaries.
I do know a family who told their child when she was like 11 that she was adopted. They also had a biological child. So that was like a very hard thing for both parents and child to kind of navigate. I also know people who just like always knew, like they didn't remember being told. They just like always knew. And if I was ever going to adopt, I think that would be the route that I would want to go, is like, I don't want them to like remember me sitting them down and like making it this huge deal. I would just like want them to know from the get go, just like always know, like, you're adopted. Like, we love you. This is our story. This is how we became a family. So again, I'm not in that situation, and it's hard, you know, it's easy for anyone to say, oh, I would do X, Y, or Z in any situation. But I have thought about adoption a lot, and I feel like that's how I would want to proceed if I was ever given the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. Adoption is wildly expensive in this country, so it's kind of a bummer.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. Okay. So the parents come out. She's not ready. Izzy is disappointed, understandably. Like, I don't think she's being unreasonable at all. So Bailey kind of pulls her aside, and she's like, hey, it's okay to be disappointed, but if you want her to want you, she has to be alive to do that. So like,
which is such a powerful statement in that moment for Bailey.
Yeah. And she just not saying it mean, she's just like kind of trying to ground Izzy back in the situation, being like, you're upset, but like, there's a bigger issue here. So like, are you going to do this? So that she does. Alex goes to check on Ava, and her dad is telling her like all about her past. Like, oh, you're a teacher. You have all these diaries. We have your room ready for you. So she asks if she can go home with them. And Alex is like, well, we have to monitor the baby really closely still. And you're still on antibiotics and you need to be on bed rest. But like, I'll ask Addison and like, see if that's something that you can do from home. Derek finds Meredith, and she says she's in a bad mood because she yelled at Susan, and he's like, oh, it's fine. And she asks about the meeting with the chief, and he's like, oh, it was not good either. And she's like, well, look at us go. We both fucking suck. And then they hug, and Richard sees, and he's like, oh no, I can't break up the angel baby couple. Oh
yeah. This whole For the interactions between Derek and Weber throughout the rest of the episode, from this scene being the turning point, really pisses me off.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll tell you about
it. We will indeed get there. So then the interns minus Izzy are all eating lunch. And George asks, like, what's wrong with Izzy? And they're like, we don't fucking know, George. Like, ask her yourself. He's like, well, I can't ask her because I don't know where she is. Meredith asks Christina what's on her hands, and she's like, I'm trying to scare away the cardio god. And Meredith says, with pretty, pretty nails or pretty,
that
pretty
is
fingers.
Funny. What, one of those two.
Yeah.
But also it's funny at the beginning of that scene, very glossed over. Alex was like, I was waiting up in really old guy's room for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Love really old guy. It's great.
Does he have any talking lines? Are we going to get to meet really old guy?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. Christina asks Alex why he is sad. He's like, oh, are you sad because Ava is like, no face girl is leaving? And he's like, no, I don't care. She's just a patient. I don't care. Like, what happens to her? Who cares? I don't care. I'm not attached
to
my patients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously he's lying. He loves being there for Ava.
Yeah. Overly
slash
defensive
Shannon
about it.
Slash fake person.
Oh, sorry. Another yawn. My toes are so cold. Oh, also. Sorry. This is really gross. So if you don't like gross things, hit the 30 second skip mark now. I was trying to move a shelf in from the garage the other day, and I like stubbed my toe on it because I was doing it by myself when I should not. And it like my second toe, it literally split the entire nail all the way down, and it was just like pouring blood. And like, I was like, cool, I don't fucking have any Band-Aids. I mean, I do, but I don't know where they are.
And why were you moving stuff, Kelsey?
Well, because I moved into a new house.
Yes, I don't think people knew that. I don't think we announced that on the podcast.
But my dad was here, and he was like hanging out with the kids. Aww. So I was like, cool, I can like, because he lives like 4 minutes away now, which is so nice. But I was like, oh, he's hanging out with the kids so I can like do a bunch of shit while he's here. And I shouldn't have been doing that. I should have been doing a lot of other things, but like moving that was not that important in that moment. But I like wanted to do it. But luckily he had a first aid kit in his car for some reason. So he gave me a Band-Aid, which was great. I was just trying to like wrap a paper towel around my toe.
Yeah, that tracks. That tracks for your dad. Yeah. I respect that. Tell him that I love it and I'm excited to see him in like 15 days.
Yes, he's also excited. He said he wanted to have you over and regain your trust and do like a badass charcuterie board.
Oh, because what did I say last time? I was like, oh man, you really, you're throwing me for a loop here. I don't remember what I said.
Because the first time we went over, there was a really big charcuterie board. And then the second time there was not. And you were like, where the fuck's the charcuterie board?
Listen, tell your dad he's great.
He is great. Okay.
Oh man.
Anyways, so yes.
Could he be my adopted dad? I could use one.
I have a boo-boo too. Yes, he will be. Okay, so George goes to Bailey and he's like, I demand what's going on with Izzy. And she's like, I know that you did not just say demand to me.
So there's one person on the show that you just do not fuck with, George, and that is Bailey. Don't fucking do it.
Like of all the people to mess with her, that's who's going to try. No, please. She could end him so quickly.
Not even Weber really pushes back on Bailey. And even if he were, he wouldn't be a dick about it. Well, exactly. Actually, no, he may have done that before. He may have been a dick before. Maybe it was Burke. I'm thinking of Burke.
Yeah. But they all felt bad about it.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so she tells him to mind his business and do his job. She gives Meredith a vial of blood and she's like, this is important. Take it to the lab. Watch them run the test. Bring it back as soon as they have the results. Meredith's like, what's wrong with Izzy? Because it's Izzy's name on it. And she's like, it's a fucking private matter. Don't ask your dumb bitch questions. Direct quote.
Direct quote, yeah.
And now we will take a small break for everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. How many we got?
Needed to add that. One.
One. Male or female? Yeah. Huh?
Female.
Female. Okay.
I will be shocked if you guess this.
Oh, okay. Shocked if I guess this. Shocked if I guess this. Have there been any obscure people on this show today that I can think of? Is it the mom?
No.
Is it Hannah?
No.
I have no other guesses.
First of all, let me just say, when I was looking up the Shondaland people, that mom, not in Shondaland, but she has done like 57 horror movies. Like apparently she's just like got a creepy face or something. I don't know. She's been in like a bajillion horror movies.
She's the Kevin Bacon of horror.
Seriously. So she, so the person in Shondaland is the woman at the bar that like, Sloan tries to like ring man Richard
gosh
into.
Dang, are you
the, like,
kidding
really,
me
really young girl? Yeah,
the one on her way home from bio class.
Yeah.
Ugh, gosh.
Yeah, so her name in real life is Nichelle Hines and she was in two episodes of Scandal.
Oh, very nice. Heiress to the Hines fortune.
Yes, I hope that for her.
Yeah. So Scandal, so I don't know if I said this on air? Did I say this on air? I need to go back and watch Scandal.
Yes, you do.
To watch and Olivia. Yes, you do. So Olivia Pope is the main character in that show?
Yes.
Okay.
She's a badass. Clearly, cool. As you can tell.
Cool. I'm excited to watch that because I do like her as a character, mm-hmm. Especially because I know her from, like I said, Psych. So
yeah. She's a great actress. And she was also in a musical on Netflix. She can sing.
Into the Woods?
No.
Did I ever tell you when I saw Into the Woods in theaters?
Why would you? Did you not know it was a musical? You must have not known. There's
I
no,
didn't know it
you,
was a musical.
Yeah, I was like, you would not have seen. Did you stay? Did you not walk out? That seems like something
no, I
you
didn't.
Would walk out of.
So this was years ago when I was still living with my dad and Cindy and in that very short period of my life. And they were like, hey, we're going to go see a movie. What should we go see? And like, also, do you want to come with? And I was like, yeah, I'll go with. What about Into the Woods? Like, I love Anna Kendrick. Let's go see that. And I remember Cindy being like, what? Why? And I was like, Anna Kendrick, I really like her. And she's like, okay. And so we get to the theater and we're sitting there and like 5 minutes goes by and I lean over to Cindy and I go, is this a musical? Yeah. And she cackles in the middle of the theater.
Yeah. The opening and I didn't know. That is very long.
It is long. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is what's happening. And I watched the whole thing. It wasn't terrible, but like,
yeah, it's fine. It's just not a Carmen movie.
No, it's not. It's no Hamilton, you know.
I was just about to say it's no Hamilton. We are one mind sometimes, only when your mind is good.
Oh, interesting. So 100% of the time, because my mind is always good.
Mostly never.
Perfectly in sync.
Okay. So back to the show. Izzy is in the procedure room getting an epidural. Again, great. Can't recommend it enough. Epidurals for everybody.
Every Tuesday.
Bailey asks, oh, that reminds me, I got my epidural bill. I got to pay that. Bailey asks if she can, okay, I got, so when I first gave birth, they were like, your bill is here. And I opened it and it was very high and they were like, insurance paid for none of it. And I was like, I don't know if that's correct. Like, I know insurance is garbage in this country, but like, it's supposed to pay for some of it. And so I called them, or sorry, Michael called them because it's under his name because he works and keeps me in my finery. And they were like, oh yeah, we didn't get a bill for that. Like, they didn't bill it. And when I had typed it in, like on the page, they were like, you don't have insurance. And I was like, I do in fact have insurance though.
Yeah, 100%.
So we had to like resubmit it online and, then they like did pay for a lot of it. So like, it, don't worry, but, they're expensive if insured, like just the epidural alone is like $3,000 if you don't have insurance. So
no, thanks.
That's super fun. Anyways, so yes, I, enjoyed getting that taken care of. It was nice than when I did have insurance and it went down like so significantly. I still have to pay, which is stupid because I have insurance, but it's fine. Healthcare is garbage, but everyone loves it. It's so great. No notes. Okay, so epidurals, guys. Average Tuesday. Bailey's asking Izzy, like, are you sure you don't want me to call someone and hold your hand? And Izzy's like, no. And they have a really nice moment. And Bailey's like, well, you can hold my hand, but they're really rough. Like, I can take a lot of pressure, so you can squeeze my hand. Very sweet. I love her. She's an angel. And then fucking George stops Meredith and asks, like, what's going on with Izzy? And she's like, I don't know. And he's like, you have to tell me. And Meredith says, well, if she wanted you to know, she would tell you. And he's like, well, we're having a stupid fight, but like, it's messed up if I'm not there and something's really wrong. I'm like, yeah, it is messed up. So quit being a shitty friend. Like, don't, that's on you. It's literally your fault. I don't understand.
Yeah. Also, it's not a stupid fight. Like, you guys committed adultery on your wife.
Yep. Which was like your wife's biggest fear. And then you just did it.
And she's gonna find out, George.
Yeah.
That even is your real name.
Anyways, so Meredith tells him where Izzy is. So he runs off. So then Alex goes to talk to this mom and he's like, good news. Addison said that she can go home. Like, we'll coordinate with her local OB to make sure everything's okay. And you have all the information, but you can take her home. She's like, no, I can't take her home. And Alex is like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you need me to like tell your husband what to do? And she's like, no, you don't understand. It's not my daughter. So that's a bummer. She says, well, Alex is like, but like, look at your husband talking to her. Like it is. And she's like, no, I'm a mother and a mother knows. And if he needs that to be our daughter, because if that's not our daughter, we still don't know where our daughter is, which sucks.
Yep.
And I cannot imagine like knowing your like adult daughter is like super pregnant and just not knowing where she or your unborn grandchild are. Like, that's terrifying.
Also, though, like, just think through this rationally. From the beginning of the episode, you didn't need to barge in there. There's a lot of tests that need to be done. They didn't do any of them.
Nope. They were just like, this must be her. No one else has ever gone missing in the world.
Ever. But you don't understand, Kelsey. They both don't have their tonsils.
And they're P positive. The rarity of both of those things. And they have the same color hair.
I wonder if B positive is the most like common blood type. What's the most common blood type? Hold on, let's look this up.
I don't know, but I am A negative, which means I have to get extra shots in my butt when I'm pregnant, because when you are negative and they don't know if your baby is negative or positive, if your baby is positive, then your blood cells can attack your baby's blood cells. So they have to give you a shot to make them not do that.
I think Jessica did that too.
Then maybe she has negative blood.
No. My friend Katie did. That's what I'm thinking. O positive is the most frequently occurring blood type in 37% of the population.
Is that the one that's the universal donor as well? Or O negative? There's one.
O negative is the universal donor.
Okay, so anyone can receive O negative, but O negative can only receive O negative.
Correct.
I think. And then O positive, I think, can receive anything. I don't know, I could be wrong.
I believe O positive is the universal reception and O negative is the universal donation.
Yes. Do you know your blood type?
No.
Oh, well, you should learn it.
I should learn that.
Do you know what's a good way to learn your blood type?
Go to the doctor.
Donate blood. They'll tell you. They'll give you a little card that has it on there.
All right.
So everyone donate blood, save 3 lives.
It's also, I could just go sell my blood and just make some money.
You can sell plasma. You can't really sell blood. I never understood why they call it donating plasma when you're selling it. I also did that in college, and it is shady. Like,
oh, really?
Like, all the poor college kids and then a lot of people who are doesn't appear, if you're judging solely by appearances, it didn't look like they were in like a great season of life.
Oh, sorry. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Also, they like check with like UV lights. They check on your arm to make sure that you haven't like sold plasma at like somewhere else. Like they check for track marks and they put like UV stamps, like all the different plasma places put stamps that will last for like weeks because you are only supposed to do it like once so many weeks. And so they'll like have to check you and like make sure you haven't recently done it. It's wild.
That is crazy. I did not know that. Yeah. I've never donated plasma or sold plasma, but I have donated blood. It's just been a long time.
Also, it takes a long time to donate plasma because they literally pull your blood out, pull the plasma out, and then put your blood back in.
Really? Why can't you just be like, I don't need it back. Like, just do whatever you want.
Nope. Because I think they can take more of it if they put your blood back. I don't know. I don't know the logistics behind it, but that is what happens. I've done it. Good times.
Interesting. Sounds like blood doping. Are you an athlete? Are you a major athlete and you're just like blood doping?
You know I am. You know that I am winning the Olympics.
Constantly. You know who's not winning? The United States USA men's team. National. Yep. Ah, look at that. We're in sync here.
Ted Lasso would be so disappointed.
I know.
Football is death. Football is life. Okay. Guys, we are doing great. Where am I? Okay. So then this lady just fucking bails. She's like, hey, tell my husband to meet me in the lobby. Bye.
I'll get the car running for a quick getaway.
Yeah. Okay. So then we get the scene, and this is, I really like this scene. The Richard and Derek really get into it about him being chief. And he's like, you didn't come here to be chief. You came here to start a new life, and you started a new life, and you have a great person you're sharing that with. And he's like, that doesn't matter. What, that shouldn't affect your decision to make me chief. And he's like, well, it does, because I promised Ellis that I would take care of her daughter, which is like, okay, so get into it. Tell me why this pisses you off. It should. It's annoying and wrong.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Weber from day one has done this projection bullshit on Burke and Derek of you can't have both. You can't have the wife and the family and the job. It's impossible. And then you see Ellis, who did all the things that she did, all of her accolades, and also didn't have both. And he wasn't there when she was lucid for this, but she's like, I just didn't try hard enough, which leads me to believe that also Weber didn't try hard enough. And I like that Derek pushes back and he's like, don't take your mistake out on me. Like, this is not my fault that you couldn't do both. So the biggest beef that I have with this interaction from a Weber standpoint is he is projecting. He is being unfair. And it's not right for how he's looking at it. And also, Meredith is a grown-ass adult woman. Mm-hmm. And Derek is a grown-ass adult man.
Yep.
If they're going to break up because of the job, you give them that chance.
Yeah, that's their business. Also, yeah, like, now by doing this, you are interfering in their relationship because now you're making Derek question, like, is this relationship worth this huge career move for me?
Right.
Which, like, sucks. You shouldn't have to choose between the two. You should be able to have the opportunity to try both. I think it's not that big a deal. So, yeah. Anyways,
do you have any additional thoughts that I missed on that one?
No, I agree. I think that's a good scene between the two of them. I think they do a good job with, like, their back and forth and, like, him basically being like, I do really like the, like, don't blame me or don't put your mistakes onto me. We're not all the same, you know. Give them a chance. Give me a chance to ruin this woman's life on my own.
Yeah.
I've already done it once. I would like to do it again. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Don't steal my joy, Weber.
Yeah. So, George barges into the procedure room with Bailey and Izzy, and Bailey's like, leave. And he says, make me. I'm like, you know she will, right?
George is getting a bit too bold for my liking
getting
in this episode.
Getting a little too big for those britches, if you know
big
what I mean.
Big for those britches, yep. With his tiny little penis. Just getting too much out there.
Using it to just have sex with everybody. So he kind of comforts Izzy and tells Bailey that he can take over. And Izzy says it's okay. So she leaves, but thanks her first. He asks, like, what's going on? At the same time, Callie is looking for George in the clinic. Meredith's like, okay, here are some patients. And she's like, no, I'm looking for George. And she's like, oh, well, he's with Izzy, so give me those patients. I'll do the work since you're not here to work. She's obviously mad that he is not there and bailed on her for Izzy. Not the first time.
Won't be the last.
Burke, Marlo, and Christina are operating. And again, Marlo is being a huge turd. Snaps at Burke, tells him he's doing something wrong, and tells him to just observe the surgery. Like, you're not capable, basically. Which we know is bullshit. He's peacocking for Christina, and, like, obviously it's not going to work. Izzy is trying to get dressed and struggling, and George helps her get out of bed, helps her get dressed.
He's
a moment.
It's very sweet in this moment, but it looks very sexual. Like,
well, because it is. If they hadn't had sex, it wouldn't be sexual.
Right.
But they have had sex. They have crossed that boundary. So now all of this is tainted and, like, will forever, like, have that attached to, like, any physical contact between the two of them is going to have that attached to it now.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Yeah. So this,
I really thought that Callie was going to see that, though. Yeah. I thought Callie was going to see that particular scene.
This is the moment that she chooses to tell George about, like, what's going on and that she had a daughter and gave her up for adoption. And now she's here and, like, she's doing the bone marrow transplant to, like, see if she can be a donor for her. And he's like, you didn't tell me. And she's like, you told me to back off, all this stuff. Then she says, I really like this. She was like, I didn't think I cared until she said no. Which I feel like everyone has had things like that in life where you're like, I don't care that much, like, however this goes. And then it goes maybe a way you didn't expect. And you're like, oh, shit, I'm, like, really disappointed. I did care a lot about that. So I think that's, like, just a really relatable moment that everyone has at some point. And then she's like, tells George, she's like, I don't need the sex with you. And again, but like, I need you to be my best friend. Like, if you're not my friend, I can't do this. So he's like, I have to go.
Yeah, this was a weird. He came back. Yeah, he comes back. But that was like weird. Why was that even an option?
Because they cut it. If he came back and was like, you know what? I am here for you. Because we see later on that like he just took her to go see Hannah. Like, so if they hadn't cut it, if they had him come back and he was like, I will take you. I should be there. I want to be there for you. But
what's even the point of saying, but what's even the point of leaving if you're just going to come back?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did like intend to leave. And then he was like, no, I am going to be there for my friend.
I don't know. Just a weird cinematic arc for that scene in general.
Yeah, I did think it was like a weird choice to leave and come back and then cut. That's what's weird to me. Like, leave, come back and be like, I'm sorry. I am your friend and we're going to get through this. I'll be there for you in this like very vulnerable time in your life. But it was because it was the leaving and coming back, because again, it was like last week when you thought he was coming back in the closet to like make out with her, but he didn't. Do you remember
this time he does? Yeah, I remember.
Right.
This time he does.
It's kind of a similar thing where like he's coming back and you're like, are you coming back to like make out with her? Are you coming back to be her friend? Are you coming back to just like tell her your feelings? Like, what are you doing?
So also, talk about another sexually charged scene. My gosh, that mm-hmm. closet scene last week was just palpable.
Yeah. So Christina goes into the OR. Burke is there. He's obviously like bummed about the surgery. She tries to say that Marlo was a dick, but he's like, no, he did a good job. Like, he was a brilliant surgeon. Like, he did an amazing job. It was beautiful work, whatever. And she's like, basically asks him a question just to give him an opportunity to like, quote unquote, teach her something. And she's like, oh, thanks. And he's like, okay, see you at home. And then Marlo comes around the corner and he's like, I know you knew the answer to that. Like, I can't believe you asked him that. And just to boost that man's ego. And she said, I have learned that sometimes you have to think about other people. And he says, you have compromised yourself. And then he's like,
no, she's a better person now, Marlo.
She says, or he says he won't be pursuing the job because A, it's beneath him. And B, he was just doing it to get a woman who, quote, no longer exists.
How is this beneath him, though? Like,
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't think the hospital is prestigious enough. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's fair. Maybe that's true.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me because, like, yeah, he's a great surgeon, but, like, I mean, they talk about this hospital as though it's, like, pretty great. So, I don't know. That's the only thing that I could think of. Or maybe he's just being a snobby British man. I don't know.
I need to go back and teach in the London office.
The London. We've been there.
Yes, we have.
The London office of Grey's Anatomy.
No, the London office of Grey's Academy.
Yes, my favorite of our offices across the
globe.
We
are the two most senior professors at the Grey's Academy.
Yes.
Indubitably.
Yes. Tweed elbow patches. Okay.
We're both chief of surgery.
Yes, indeed. We share our duties. But we can be married. Don't worry, guys. Okay, so... yes, George wheels Izzy to the like the little lobby of, I guess, again, the pediatric ward, I'm assuming. She asks him to look in and he sees Hannah getting the procedure done, like, oh, you did it, you're saving her life, basically. And he tells her, kind of like walks her through what's happening, and he's like, you can look, like, she can't see you. And then he says, she's got your eyes in your mouth, that means she talks a lot and eats a lot. Delightful.
A little bit of a funny scene there.
George kind of then convinces her to come to the window so she can look herself. And she's like, that's my daughter. Like, she's beautiful. She's so strong. Like, it's, again, emotional. Dude, just emotional. Can't imagine it. Bailey is working in the clinic. Derek comes in and she's like, can I fucking help you? Why are you here? What do you want? You only ever talk to me when you want something, you man. And so he basically is like, I came here to be chief, and Meredith complicates that. And she is like, if you have to choose between a job and a person, choose the person, because all of this means nothing if you're alone, which is pretty good advice.
Yeah. Really fucking good advice. I like that they've built this dynamic over the three seasons of, like, Derek thinks he knows everything, except when he's around Bailey.
Yeah, he goes to her, like, explicitly when he's like, yeah, I don't actually know everything, but you know who does? Miranda Bailey.
Yeah, yeah. And it's never for small stuff. It's always these big, life-shattering, like, pivotal moments of his life and career. Yeah. And she's like, yeah, let me help you. I know everything.
Let me just give you some really good advice of, like, not picking your career over the person that you, like, left your wife for. What a concept.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a nice moment. It's a quick moment, but it's nice. George finds Callie and lies about why he
fucking liar
right to her face.
And right she to knows. Her
face. Yeah, she does.
Gosh.
She doesn't even hide it well, and he makes no. Like, he is so oblivious to everything this woman needs.
I was most annoyed at that scene because George acted like he didn't even recognize what was going on. I mean, well, obviously he's not acting. He probably is that stupid. But he's like, Callie's like, I'm going to give you a chance here to tell me the truth, because now I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
You just lied to me. So. And I know. Oh, yeah. Also, he had no reason to lie.
Yeah. Like,
that's what I don't understand.
Well, because he won't tell her the truth about Izzy, because she's like, it's a private matter, and he won't, like, betray her trust, which I understand. But, like, also, that's your wife. So, like, maybe don't betray her trust by sleeping with someone else.
Bingo. Also, you can say, there's a personal thing that I needed to help Izzy with. It's about her family. I can't get into it.
It's a HIPAA violation.
It's a hippo violation.
Exactly.
My hippo violation is that I have elephantitis and the rhinovirus.
Nice.
I'm not a cheetah.
Nice.
And also, George, why are you lying?
George is a cheetah. Okay, so...
Also, fun... I don't have elephantitis, people. Just let's not...
Disclaimer. Thank you for clarifying that.
Let's get Jessica on the phone real quick, just to confirm.
Alex goes to tell Ava that her parents aren't her parents, and she gets super upset and yells at him and is like, you just want to keep me here because you don't have anyone to talk to, and I am just like this poor captive audience that you can come and talk to all the time, and I don't care about your life, and get the fuck out. It's a bummer.
It's a bit harsh. A bit harsh from Jane Doe.
She clearly is having... a big reaction to those people not being her parents, which is understandable. Unfortunately, Alex is there, so that is just the first person to receive her reaction. She unfairly puts her disappointment on him in a very cruel way.
In her defense, Alex is getting too close to this emotionally.
Yeah, like, I agree.
And I don't think that he's done a good job of hiding it, which leads her to this emotional overflow.
Do you think there's, like, any parallels at this point to the Denny situation as far as, like, getting too close goes?
I don't necessarily think so, because Alex hasn't displayed any true, like, love and affection. It's more from a care, like, older brother standpoint.
Yeah.
So from a patient care perspective, no, I don't think he's crossed any lines. It would be different if, like, Addison said no and then he said yes to her leaving. Yeah. Because he's been doing everything under her advisement, and he's truly, I think, the only protective nature is that he literally saved her life. I don't think it's from a romantic standpoint.
Also,
that's the big difference.
What's interesting with Denny is, like, the big arguments him and Izzy had were, like, when he disagreed with Izzy's medical advice and medical opinion. And this is really just her being upset because, like, she doesn't have anyone. and she doesn't know who she is. So it's not like a medical thing. It's just like a general thing.
Who am I?
Exactly. Sloane takes Richard to a bar and he says, "You think if you can get me laid, I might make you chief," which is hilarious. Probably true.
And he doesn't deny it, which upset me a little bit.
I'm Mark Sloane. Sorry, my phone is having a fit. Okay, so Burke says Marlo is leaving and Christina can get back to being Christina. And she kind of like makes a weird face. So I don't know if you like had a read on that.
I think that she's changed. I think that she's a better person now. I think that she didn't hate the affection that she showed to Burke as much as she thought she would.
Interesting.
But they're still going to break up.
Derek is alone at the trailer and ignoring his phone. Meredith is the one calling him, obviously. Susan shows up and Meredith is like tries to be rude. And Susan is like, "No, don't be rude. Let me in your house because it's cold out here and I am a nice person and you'd let me in." And she comes in and she's like, "It is my fault that your dad didn't fight harder for you because we were married and it was new. And I like, that's all I cared about. And I understand now that that was wrong and I should have pushed him more, but like, it's too late and I'm trying to like be there for you and just like, let me do this." And Meredith says, "I've only ever known overbearing, not overprotective." And they kind of like realize that they're just both coming to this from like a very weird past, obviously, and a very weird history surrounding this relationship and surrounding Ellis and the death of Ellis and what that all means. And their, again, like their relationship to each other and to their own pasts and kind of coming to terms with what they could be moving forward. But ultimately it ends well. Susan is precious.
I actually really liked this scene. Also do need to call out Meredith's Motorola Razr from the scene prior. The thing that was that I really liked about that scene specifically was the call out that you had brought up of the overbearing versus overprotective. I just like that Suzanne was finally like, "Shut the fuck up. Like, you're being rude. So stop being rude because I'm new at this too, you dumb bitch." So it's overall good. And I want to actually, I'm rooting for their relationship. And I do hope that Meredith is able to have a good relationship with Thatcher moving forward as well. Maybe even her, half sister or whatever, you call that, stepsister, half sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious what will happen in the future, but overall that was a really good scene. And I appreciate that from Susan's acting standpoint.
Yeah. Very good scene. I agree. And I like, I like what it establishes. And then Mark is wingmaning Richard at the bar, and the really young girl comes up and's like, "Oh, I come here on my way home from bio class." And then Addison shows up, and she's like, "Practice on me." And he's like, "I don't know what to do." And she's like, "Well, ask me to dance." And he's like, "Well, there's no dance floor." And this is literally the cutest thing, and I love it. And they dance, and it's just like such a cute little mentor friend moment of like Addison just trying, like, even from the very beginning of like him and Adele having issues, Addison has been there like trying to be supportive and be helpful, and I just love that. And I think this is just like a nice little moment between the two of them.
Yeah, it was very cute. It also, my crush on Addison grew like four sizes in that scene alone. But it's also funny because I actually didn't hate Mark in that scene, and he's like, "All right, you got it, chief, like I'll be over here in the corner." And he gives,
"I'm gonna go over there now."
Yeah, and he gives Weber this like funny sink or swim moment. Obviously Addison steals the show, but I didn't hate any of the, it was just fun, it was cute. It's kind
lighthearted end to a heavier episode.
Yeah. And we don't get a lot of lighthearted endings in this show. So I want to really make sure that we call that out, because that actually did bring this episode up a little bit for me.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the end. So let's rate it. You go first. It's feel like we're going to be not on the same page on this one.
I'm giving this a 3.65.
Oh, okay. We're not that far.
Yeah. That's a resident 0.65. Reasons being, I didn't think there was any crazy drama in the episode. Once the big reveal of Izzy's daughter being there was out of the way, everything else was pretty much predictable from what I saw. I knew right away upon meeting the parents that it wasn't going to be Ava's real family. I didn't actually expect Colin Marlowe to be ducking out so quick. Yeah. And I really, like I said, I enjoyed the interactions between Weber and Mark, and I liked Addison's touch on the episode. I'm not a big fan of the George Izzy storyline right now. I know that they had sex, and I know that's what I called and what I wanted, but all of the post sex piece, it's weird writing, and I don't know why. I don't believe,
because they have no chemistry.
They have, okay,
they,
you know,
have
what they have,
no chemistry.
They have chemistry. If they didn't have chemistry, I wouldn't have called this 3 seasons ago.
It doesn't matter. They have no chemistry.
All right. What the fuck did you rate this episode?
I'm going to say I give it a fellow. It's a good 4 for me because, yeah, I really hate the George and Izzy storyline. However, they're doing a really good job. And, like, again, Katherine Heigl, I think, just, like, really does an incredible job in this episode. They also, I love her, like, Bailey and her in this episode together, and, like, Bailey being there for her in like a very specific way. And I love Christina, and I love her shenanigans. And I like, you know, it's intriguing to me following the Derek Chief storyline. Like, he's stupid, but it's a good, I mean, I think it matters to address, like, I came here for this job. Like, yes, other things have come of this, of me moving here, but, like, this was my goal. And I like the scene with him and Richard, and I like the resolution with Meredith and Susan, and maybe, you know, like, moving forward, what that could mean for Meredith and Thatcher. So yeah, for me, it's a 4. Really, a lot of it is just because, like, the acting in this episode was really good.
Yeah, it was good acting. I'll give you that. I will say to the point with the Derek and Weber situation too. If Derek is as good as he says, he probably had multiple hospitals he could have gone to.
Yeah, he just wanted to go, like, basically as far away from Addison as he could, and so he went to the other corner of the country.
Yeah,
because he had a connection there. And he said he wanted to start over, and he did successfully start over, and then he was dumb.
Then he
and, like,
didn't and ruined
know
it all.
What his life was doing, and then he went back, and then he kind of got it maybe back together. I don't know. It's been a wild less than a year, that's for sure.
Yeah. I feel good with that. I feel good ending with that. And I'm glad we were able to get through that. And actually, wow, I was really expecting this to be a 6-hour episode at the rate we were going in the beginning there.
Yeah, we were, sorry guys. We kind of were all over the place today. It's a full moon. It's not our fault. The moon affects the tides of the ocean and our attention spans. So do you have predictions for, let's see, you said Christina and Burke are going to break up. You said Callie and George are going to break up. Do you have anything to add on to that one?
Callie's going to find out about Izzy and George, but not from George.
Okay.
Either how? Izzy's going to say something, or, like, Callie will overhear someone else from the group finding out. Because to this point, Meredith, Alex, and Christina know nothing about this sex.
Yes.
The only person that Izzy told was Addison, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, Callie's going to find out. I just don't know what's going to happen specifically, but I've got a feeling that it's going to be around everyone else finding out for the first time, and maybe they'll be talking about it in the hall and she'll overhear it and then she'll confront George. But George is not going to be the one who tells her.
Okay, and then what about Ava Jane Doe?
I think we've got a solid 2 more episodes with her not having a family.
Okay. anything with Addison or Mark or anybody?
No, no. Okay. He's still doing good with his no sex thing. They're going to keep going.
Okay, sounds good. I don't think I had any other questions on this one. So do you have anything about like Thatcher, Susan, Meredith?
No, but I do think that Thatcher eventually is going to become more of a big point in Meredith's life because of Susan, which I respect.
Yes, I hope so. Okay, so cool. Let's wrap it up then. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please continue to share us and tell your friends and your families and strangers on the street. We really appreciate it when new people find us. If you are new, hello. If you are old, hello. We love you. Thank you so much for your support. And yeah, just stick around. You can find our Patreon in our Instagram bio and in the episode description of this episode. And if you see Carmen walking down the street,
don't even talk to me. Don't even talk to me right now until this.
Look at his face.
Don't even look at my face. Or if you look at my face, I'll know that you listen to this podcast. But don't talk to me right now until this George and Izzy situation is all done and over with. Don't talk to me. But more importantly, if you can't resist and you need to talk to me, which okay, I'll forgive you. But I won't forgive you for spoilies. Don't fucking spoil the show. Damn it.
No spoilies.
And please. We will see you all. We will see you all in the next one.